All right, lawyertalkpodcast.com. That's where you can check us out. We are off the record on the air. That's the slogan. Had it since the beginning, going way back, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. Anyway, public service announcement today, and you're thinking, well, what the heck does a lawyer talk have to do with public service? I don't know. It sounds good. So here's what I have been getting. So, Troy, we've done a ton of appellate work over the last 2 or 3 years. I've sort of opened up this area. When I started practicing law 31 years ago, I did a lot of appellate work. Then I got into doing a lot of trials. And, you know, it just, you know, I took what comes and we do the work. Mm-hmm. But I've always kept my thumb on or my hand in the pot of doing appellate work. And mm-hmm. it really was my first love. I love the legal aspect of it. And I like to write.
I didn't even know about it until I started working here. Obviously, law school was like my first exposure. But before you like go into the legal community, appeals are like just kind of not really talked about ever.
Yeah, nobody talks about it. It doesn't have a whole lot of sex appeal, you know. It's
yeah.
Like, you know, in trial, you're on TV trying criminal cases, big time. But the appellate work is where you really, if you geek out on law like we tend to do sometimes, mm-hmm. That's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
I have harped on this podcast, in my office, online, everywhere I can possibly harp on. The public service announcement is don't ignore the deadlines. Don't ignore them. And here's what's happened a lot in cases that are calling me recently. Guys are getting convicted after a jury trial in a criminal case. And they typically the court will either appoint a lawyer to do the direct appeal. But a lot of times those lawyers are only just appointed to do the direct appeal. The court, you don't have a constitutional right to have a lawyer appointed to some other aspects of the appellate mm-hmm. process. Like we have something in Ohio called post-conviction. Other states call it habeas corpus, but sort of these collateral or external attacks on the conviction. You have a right to a lawyer on a direct appeal, but not on those other things. And a mm-hmm. lot of times the lawyer on the direct appeal doesn't really tell the client about the deadline for post-conviction or habeas corpus or the other things. Or even if the defendant knows about the deadline, he sort of thinks, well, I've hired the appellate lawyer. I'll just focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal. It matters, guys. It matters. I mean, we've had issues coming in the office lately where it's just, they're great issues, but deadlines have passed.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean jurisdictional deadlines have passed. By jurisdictional, I mean you are SOL.
Yeah.
I mean, we can try as we might to file delayed stuff or try to convince courts to take it after the fact and whatever, but most of the time, you're screwed.
It's really unfortunate how common it is also.
Yeah.
You'd think it'd just be like here and there, but I was really shocked coming into this field that how many people just don't know about the deadlines. And the lawyers don't even tell them about the deadlines too.
And I've always taken it as my duty. When I was appointed, I don't do a whole lot of appointed work anymore, but when I used to do court-appointed appeals, I would send a letter to the client, whether they were in prison or whether they were not, whatever the situation would be, and said, look, you have a deadline to file a post-conviction petition on or before this date. Or if we got a decision from the direct appeal, I would say, you have a 45-day deadline to file a request in the Ohio Supreme Court to look at the case. It's called a memorandum in support of jurisdiction. In Ohio, other states call it different things. In federal court, it's a writ of certiorari to the U.S. Supreme Court. But you give the clients these deadlines. Now, even when you do that, though, a lot of times people will just say, well, that's not that important. Even though I put it in bold-faced italics and red and super font, people still think, you know, I'll just get to that later. Or we're going to focus on this right now and not worry about that. You can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And look, Ohio has a very fertile post-conviction body of law, particularly now. There was a few mm-hmm. cases out of the Ohio Supreme Court in the last 6 years now. And we are getting hearings in post-conviction cases. We're winning. We won one recently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I did the direct appeal and I looked at the issues and I said, look, we're going to file a direct appeal here, but the real meat of this, we can probably win it, is in post-conviction. And I'm not going to go into the nuances or the differences, but we met the deadlines and we filed the proper documents and we got everything done. And now we're winning because of that. So often, I had a conversation with somebody just earlier this week where The guy's mother just said, look, we were just focusing on the direct appeal for now, and we thought we'd get to the post-conviction later. Well, later is too late.
Mm-hmm.
It's too late.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we got the decision out of the Court of Appeals, and we just thought we'll appeal it later to the Ohio Supreme Court. And look, in one case I talked to last week, not this week, but last week, it was a year old.
Mm-hmm. When post-conviction started in Ohio, they didn't have a deadline initially. And then they eventually created the 1 year. Well, I think they actually started 180.
It started with 180 days
mm-hmm.
back in my day. And now they've extended it to 1 year, which is a really short deadline. You would think that sounds like a long time.
Yeah.
But it's the funkiest deadline you're ever going to come up with. Like 1 year from the date the transcript of the trial court proceedings is filed in the Court of Appeals. I mean, it's like, it's such a funky date. And the point is people just ignore it. Mm-hmm. Or they don't think it's a big deal. And it is. It's a jurisdictional deadline. Getting a delayed petition for post-conviction relief in Ohio is almost impossible if you read the legal standards. You basically have to have new evidence that wasn't, and by new evidence, it wasn't discoverable. In other mm-hmm. words, it didn't exist at the time of your trial or before the deadline passed, or, you know, sometimes evidence of actual innocence that wasn't available, DNA type stuff.
Yeah.
There's a seam you can run through for that. But if you just want to challenge your lawyer's ineffective assistance, or if there's a witness that didn't get called that should have been called, or if there's something else that came to light, you know, you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And saying I'll do it later, and I don't know why, I don't know what the mindset is. And I think it's somewhat of, if I had to guess, I'm not a psychologist, but I do play one sometimes in the mm-hmm. office. I think it's just people get overwhelmed.
Yeah,
and it's just too much. And I think a lot of times it's finances. People mm-hmm. say, look, I can spend my money on a direct appeal, but not the post-conviction. Which should I do? I'll just do one, but I can't do both. And sadly, you have to do all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you file it yourself pro se, because you have zero money, it's better than filing nothing.
You're preserving it.
Because at least we can go back in sometimes and amend it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes.
You mentioned money. I have a lot of classmates, and obviously we're just dumb, naive law students. They talk about there should be court-appointed lawyers on post-conviction. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I agree. I think I agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes in federal court on habeas corpus, the court will appoint lawyers,
mm-hmm.
Which is sort of the functional equivalent of a state of Ohio's post-conviction. Yeah. Is there a there's not a constitutional right by law mm-hmm. for a court-appointed lawyer. I think as a matter, whether it should be a constitutional right or not, I'll leave that to the smart people. But as a matter of prudence, look, if we really want justice and we really want convictions to stand and we really want to have sleep soundly at night, knowing that our criminal justice system has some checks and balances, then appointing an attorney to review the issues for post-conviction wouldn't be a horrible idea at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because so often we do a lot of federal habeas corpus cases. Mm-hmm. And I guess we should talk about why it matters. You've now learned why it matters.
Yes.
Because there is something called exhaustion. I'll let you explain it. He's on the hook.
Yeah. So exhaustion, we use the analogy of a ladder where in order to get to habeas corpus up here, you have to hit every prong of the ladder, which would be your trial court, your direct appeal, your Ohio Supreme Court, and then your post-conviction back at the trial court, the direct appeal there, and the Ohio Supreme Court. You have to climb the ladder all the way. If you want to skip a certain section, you haven't exhausted your state remedies. You skipped a portion of the ladder, and you can't get up to the habeas portion.
Yeah, so when we file a petition for habeas corpus where somebody has skipped a rung on the ladder, we get a response from the state of Ohio that says, guess what? This guy is procedurally defaulted, meaning he skipped a step. He did not give the state court a full and fair opportunity to litigate this claim. Therefore, you can't raise it in federal habeas. And if you want to turn back the clock, there was something back in the 90s, I think 95, 96 maybe, the Federal Anti-Terrorism and Death Penalty Act, which says nothing about federal habeas in the name about federal habeas corpus. But it addressed a lot of this stuff and really tightened up the standards. And since then, the law coming out of the federal circuits on this and the U.S. Supreme Court has been really, really strict. You can't, you know, procedural default's a real thing. Now, there's some exceptions. If you show cause and prejudice, meaning maybe your lawyer screwed it up or maybe you got bad advice or maybe the evidence wasn't available. I mean, there's a few minor exceptions, but cause and prejudice is not something you want to be. If you find yourself in the bag of cause and prejudice trying to make that standard, you're already fighting. It's already uphill. Now you're fighting up a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot get the worst thing you see is when we review somebody's been in prison for 5 years.
Yep.
And they call me and they say, look, we've got this great issue, but you know, we hired a lawyer. He did the direct appeal. And then we did a memo in support of jurisdiction on the direct appeal to the Ohio Supreme Court, but we really never did anything on state court post-conviction. But our lawyer was ineffective because he didn't call this expert that would have said that the DNA was bad, or that the scientific testing of the cell phone location services was bad, or could have presented this other evidence, but my lawyer didn't investigate, didn't interview witnesses, didn't do these things. And I'm thinking, well, look, that was 5 years ago, man. What did you raise it? No. And I'm thinking,
it's tough.
You know, there's nothing more frustrating because I've had cases where the defendant is right. Like there is a real issue here that could have been raised, wasn't, and we're sort of dead in the water and he's looking at a life sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So back to your question, is that what we want in our system now? For those who are tough on crime, and I am, believe it or not. I mean, I'm a criminal offense lawyer, but I believe in justice. I believe in the system, and I have no problem with punishing people who commit crimes. I have a huge problem punishing people who commit crimes without due process, without following the rules, or an overreaching, overbearing government. And if you think that doesn't exist, you're wrong. It does exist. Why? Because the system is made up of
people,
and people are inherently flawed. We all are.
Mm-hmm.
And look, whether you've found that, like, as I do, on a certain religious ideology, or whether you just make observations of human civilization since the dawn of man, people are flawed and people have egos, and prosecutors on the side of righteousness always will think that they're doing the right thing. And sometimes it doesn't mean they're bad people, but if they believe in their cause, they're going to do what they can to get their conviction. But guess what? They could be wrong. And that's where we come in. And we have to be the bulwark against that. And only then can we justify convicting people of crimes. So I'm sure we're going to get lots of comments. People think I'm an idiot or whatever. I don't care. But it's true. I mean, that is true. And I believe it. So look, if you're watching this and you're thinking, you know, my son, we've got this, he's on direct appeal, but we'll get to it. Or we just thought we would deal with that later in the future, or whatever. Now's the time. The deadlines are tight. So what I would urge everybody to do, even if you don't call a lawyer, AI is better than nothing. What are the deadlines for a post-conviction petition in Ohio? What are the deadlines for asking the Ohio Supreme Court to review something? What are the deadlines? What are the deadlines? What are the deadlines? And then go get legal advice. Don't rely on AI, of course. I'm not telling you to rely on AI. But I'm saying if you're doing nothing, that's better than nothing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you just called my office, Palmer Legal Defense, and said, what are my deadlines? I will tell you what the deadlines are. I won't charge you for the phone call.
Mm-hmm.
If you send me a message in our platform, say, we have a direct appeal pending, what are the deadlines? I'll do my best to answer that question. I'll do it for anybody. I won't even charge you because it's so important that you meet the deadline. So this is like the old public service announcements you don't remember those on TV, but they used to have them. And that's what this is. So look, we want justice to be done. We fight for the little guys, we fight for the big guys, we fight for everybody in between. And I do believe the system only works if you have somebody fighting for you. But we don't know to do it. I can't pick up your cause. I can't pick up your case unless you call.
Mm-hmm.
And if you call too late and the deadlines are passed, I'll do my best. But, you know, you're going to get this kind of reaction from me. Like, damn, I wish you would have called me 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So, all right. Lawyer Talk podcast, off the record, on the air. You can check us out. If you've got a comment, you got a question, I'm going to read some comments here later, I think, and respond to them. But anyway, you got something you want us to talk about, just let us know. By the way, we're sponsored by Circle 270 Media. Phenomenal. If you've got a podcast that you want, if you're in the Central Ohio area, even nationally, great podcast consultant, check out Circle 270 Media. Brett over there will take care of you.